He was on the scene of that tremendous game Monday night in Tampa. A lot of great coverage for USA Today. Catch up online, usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter, the handle, @GeorgeSchroeder. George, thanks for checking in. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. General question about the game. A lot of turning points. Near the end of the half, 14-7 Bama, Artavius Scott fields a punt, makes a mistake, and Clemson's back to their own end zone. But Watson made a big third down throw to get them out of trouble, and they make it into the locker room down just 7, as opposed to what we saw against Washington when Browning threw a pick 6. I know with all that happened in the second half, it's a lot to process, but, man, how important was that to just avoid disaster and get in down 7?
Well, pretty important. I mean, I think you could come up with 3 or 4 games that weren't the highlight that 3 or 4 plays that weren't necessarily the highlight plays that really changed the game. And, you know, because there was a point where Clemson appeared to be hanging on by a thread.
Yep.
Now, their defense was playing really, really well. And so I think maybe that's a little bit deceiving. I think in retrospect, they were not hanging on by a thread because I don't think Alabama's offense was going to do much against them. And I do think their offense, as we saw, the Clemson offense eventually wore Alabama flat out in the second half, and especially late in the third quarter, but then in the fourth quarter, you know, they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter on that Alabama defense. But the play talking about was a huge play. There was the play early in the third quarter when Ryan Anderson forced and recovered a fumble from Wayne Gallman and was rumbling towards the end zone for yet another Alabama touchdown defensively.
Yep.
And Hunter Renfrow, all 5'9" and whatever he is of him, flipped him and knocked him over, and they managed only a field goal to go up 17-7, and it felt like a big win. For I think it was a huge momentum turn for both teams. There was that. There was also that pooch punt later in the quarter that finally reversed the field, that short fourth down play, the pooch punt from Deshaun Watson. There's a bunch of plays like that that really – you don't think of immediately that I think changed the game.
No, absolutely. Mike Williams, the top wideout by Clemson, couple days before, you prophetically wrote about he might be a big difference maker in the game, and obviously some of those tough catches he made creating issues for Alabama's defense. But from what you observed and what his teammates had to say, you know, before the game, what made you think, wow, this guy could be special?
Well, I've seen him play. I mean, that would be the first thing. But, I mean, he was a handful for an Ohio State secondary that, frankly, was better than Alabama's secondary. Now, their defense wasn't better. It was a really good defense. But the strength of Alabama's defense is in the front 7 and especially the front 4. The secondary, especially after Eddie Jackson suffered that broken leg earlier in the year, is not special. The secondary is not. And so he is probably going to be the first receiver taken. A lot of people think he's going to be a fantastic pro. He's 6'6", he's 225 pounds. He's got some speed, though, to go with it, and he's quick. It's not just a straight line speed. And then, to top it all off, he's got unbelievable hands. And we saw that twice in the fourth quarter where he went up and sort of high-pointed a ball and made two really nice catches that led to 2 touchdowns. So, you know, I just think it was pretty clear that he didn't play a year ago because he had broken his neck in the first game of the season.
Right.
So he wasn't involved in their offense, and they're just so much more dangerous with him.
We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Another pregame article focused on Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney. You wrote about the programs being reflections of their coaches, and I've read and heard people talk about how opposite they are. Obviously, you've met them, been in rooms with them, talked face-to-face with both. Are they completely different or just in more subtle ways?
Well, I mean, I think they're pretty different just in that, you know, Nick Saban is, he's not exactly the sunniest guy on the planet, I guess would be a good way to put it.
That's a great way to put it.
I don't know that it's not that he doesn't have a sense of humor. He's just so focused that there's no room for humor. It's like somebody left the humor chip out. and just sort of free and easy is never going to describe him. Dabo Swinney, on the other hand, is a real, you know, he's very, very friendly. He's gregarious. People who know him say that's a genuine thing. That's not just shtick. And, you know, and so he goes about it a completely different way. Now, that said, where Alabama has this sort of regimented process that, frankly, every football program worth its salt has, Clemson has the same thing. They have the same kind of process. They just go about it differently. And I think that is a reflection of each head coach. And I think one of the cool things about the other night was in this sort of coaching world where Nick Saban and Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh run this sort of, I don't know what you've got, almost like a boot camp approach in terms of, you know, fun is not a part of the deal. It's fun to see, I guess to use a word, it's fun to see somebody who thinks fun is a part of the deal and you should have fun along the way and that the whole endeavor should be fun. It's fun to see that you can win that way. And that's what Dabo Swinney's guys do.
By the way, I think, George, you may have become the first person ever to use gregarious and shtick in the same sentence. So done there.
Well, there you go. That's pretty good. I thought using gregarious would get me like the word of the day.
Well, that would get me looking it up in the thesaurus or a dictionary somewhere. We talked last week about Clemson now, this great six-year period. Now they have the trophy. Your follow-up piece addressed the future. Their coach says this is sustainable despite losing such a great player like Deshaun Watson. From your chair, you know, why does he believe that, and how realistic is it that they can stay among college football's elite?
Well, I think, first of all, they're built that way because you can see just the recruiting classes they've stacked on top of each other, and that's kind of what you see with all these powers when they really get it going. But they've stacked top 10 recruiting class after recruiting class after recruiting class, and they're on their way to yet another one, perhaps their best one. They are going to take a step back. I don't think there's any doubt. They would love to doubt it, but Deshaun Watson is a transcendent quarterback in the college ranks. He's just fantastic. You guys all saw that. Once he got dialed in late in the second quarter and then on into the third and the fourth quarter, Alabama couldn't handle him. He was just too good for their defense. They'll miss him tremendously. They're going to miss Mike Williams, we just talked about. They're going to miss Wayne Gallman, the running back that doesn't probably get enough credit for how good he is. They're going to miss several other important players. They're going to bring back most of their defense, though, and that's the strength of the team. Most of the defensive line that gave Alabama fits is coming back. And they've got a bunch of good young players. So, well, I think they take a step back next year. I think over the long haul, they are built to be one of those programs that's always in contention for the playoff. And then if you catch the right year and you have another good quarterback, he doesn't have to be as good as Deshaun Watson, then you got a shot to win it again.
One of your stories had an interesting headline. If you have SEC pride, stop rooting for Alabama. You mentioned it. We talked about it. After the Crimson Tide, every other SEC team had at least four losses. That's rare.
Right.
Why do you think fans in that league rooting for their banner carrier might actually be counterproductive in trying to prove how dominating that league is?
Well, because first of all, that league is not dominating anybody else right now. I mean, you know, the ACC went 10-4 against the SEC this year,
wow,
counting the win Monday night by Clemson. The SEC went 6-9 against Power Five opponents this year, counting that loss by Alabama to Clemson. You know, that's not a great deal. I'm sorry, 6-9 in bowl. They went 6-7 in bowl games. So I've got my stats mixed up. But they went 6-7 in bowl games,
right,
and against Power Five opponents. And so it wasn't a good year. You already mentioned every other team had at least four losses. I think two teams had four losses. Everybody else had five or more. And so there was a giant gap between a clearly elite team in Alabama that was the best team in the country. All year long, over the course of the entire season. They didn't win the other night, but they were clearly the best team in the country. But the rest of the league was not the best league in the country. And so, all of that said, if you want your league to be the best league, or if you just want your team to contend for things beyond the Music City Bowl, then you need Alabama to lose some, because it's sort of a cycle where they keep winning, they keep grinding out, grinding down the conference more and more and more, and they keep getting more and more recruits and this, that, or the other. It's just kind of a vicious cycle that has sort of grinded down the competition in the rest of the league. And so that was the point. Now, I got a lot of pushback from that, especially, first of all, from Alabama fans who thought I was somehow saying something bad about them. I was saying all sorts of nice things about them. And then from Alabama fans who thought that everyone should root for them anyway. I think it's because it's their divine right. And then from a few SEC fans who just thought, no, we should always root for the SEC. Well, okay. If you're okay with just being dominated by Alabama, then go ahead. Sort of like, thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, no, I thought it was an interesting point. We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. I know I ask stuff like this a lot, but, you know, you can get a good feel on TV, especially a 60-inch flat screen with a great sound system. But you were there in that stadium, that final drive, be it the volume, what was at stake. What will stand out to you when you think about this game moving forward?
No, I was right by the Clemson sideline on the end of the stadium where they scored the touchdown and the final, you know, all three touchdowns in the
right.
Fourth quarter, but the final two, I was right there. And just when they scored that touchdown with 1 second left, you know, I'm standing right as close as you can be in the team area without being in the team area, and just the delirium that ensued. Was unbelievable. And then you turn around and you look behind you and it's the Clemson section, that part of the stadium, nothing but orange, and the fans are just going nuts because with 1 second left, you recognize that this game is over. It's over unless somebody returned a kickoff, and they weren't going to, you know, they clearly weren't going to let you return a kickoff. They were going to do some sort of kickoff where you couldn't return it, and which we saw it was an onside kick, which took care of it. And so they knew it was over. And there was just this unbelievable moment for a fan base that has, you know, wanted this forever. It was just, so that's the kind of thing I'll remember. The play itself, that sort of the last few plays during that drive, the clock ticking down, the feeling that Clemson was in control, but would they be able to get the touchdown, or would they have to settle for a field goal and then go to overtime? When I think they would have won, but who knows? And then just the delirium when it happened. It was fantastic.
All right, final thought, opposed to what we saw from Watson, the Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson got dominated by LSU. Then it seemed to create a little bit of buzz, should they wait to crown a national champ and then vote for the Heisman. What do you think about that? Should it be a regular season award like the NBA or NFL? And if voting this week were to happen, too much emotion of the moment?
Well, if voting this week were to happen, it would be Watson. And I think if you look back over the totality of the season, including their postseasons, you can make a serious case that Watson actually ended up with a better season. And I would have no problem with him being the guy who probably deserves the Heisman. I have no problem with that. Two things. One, the Heisman Trophy Trust has zero desire to move their trophy selection until after the bowls. That's just not going to happen. It's got a prime spot. They're not going to do that. So this is an evergreen, debate that we can have, but it's not going to change. And you know what? Whether or not Lamar Jackson was the right guy or not in the regular season, I like the idea that it's a regular season award. I like the idea that it's not about the postseason. I don't necessarily know that there's a recency bias in Deshaun Watson getting it, but I think there's a part of that, certainly, if you were to do it right now. So, I don't have a problem with it. Lamar Jackson, I realize that he faded over the last couple of games in the regular season, and maybe you look back at it now and you add the bowl game in and you think, wow, he really faded. Well, I guess. He had a great year. So while maybe I'd like to re-vote and put Deshaun Watson at the top of my ballot instead of second on my ballot, I don't think we're going to – first of all, we're not going to change it, and I don't think we should change the timing of it.
All right. No, I kind of am on board where just – I'm not always a believer just because that's how you do it now. That's how you should always do it. But in this case, I kind of am. All right, George, greatly appreciate your flexibility, your insight. Now that you're back, a little bit of a come down before we start talking about things like college hoops. So you have an enjoyable evening, and we look forward to catching up next Wednesday.
All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good one.